Zealand has rolled out a mandatory mask-wearing policy for all flights leaving Auckland. Public-facing staff and domestic cabin crew will now wear masks and gloves, and pilots will wear masks when interacting with customers or walking through terminals. Air New Zealand CEO Greg Foran joins me now. Good evening, Greg. Has it been a busy day with people going in and out of Auckland?
It has been, Lisa, as people are returning home and either getting out or coming in, and we've been able to run exactly the schedule that we want to, and at the same time get ourselves organised around things like masks and discussions around social distancing. So it has been busy, but really pleased with how we're operating, and we just want to reassure all our customers and our staff that we've got this one, and the plan is coming into place.
Is there any suggestion you might need extra flights?
Not at this stage. So what we are seeing is obviously some customers are not showing up for flights. It's going to be different for flights both to and from Auckland versus what we're seeing in the regions, which is obviously on a different level at this stage, level 2 versus 3. But at this stage, we're happy with the number of flights that we have operating. It's something that we'll continue to review as you know the next few days unfold.
What has been the response to the masks?
I think it's been very positive from the feedback that I've received directly from our crews and teams at the airport. I think by far and away, most people are very happy that we're out there and doing the right thing here. You can get a mask whether you're checking in or whether you're at the gate or whether you're on board, and compliance has been really good.
So you've had a few hiccups in the past with obviously cancellations and people not being able to take trips because of COVID. So what's happening with people who have booked flights that they potentially will not be able to take over the next few days? What are you saying to your customers?
Well, lots and lots of emails and texts and telephone calls. And, you know, one of the things that's an advantage is that we've been here before with this. So we were able to spool up our call centre and had an extra 100 people in there, and wait times. You know, they were lengthy last night, but just recently I just spoke to the team there in these 2 minutes. I can assure you and all our customers that we're going to do what's right by them and ensure that if they had flights booked, we'll make sure they get a credit for that, and we've now got the tools in place for that to be handled much more efficiently. So, you know, we're on top of that, feeling good about it, and we're there for our customers.
I'm wondering how close you were to kind of normal domestic occupancy rates, and are you worried that the situation we've got in Auckland now is going to run more than 3 days? I mean, what would that mean to you?
Well, we were really pleased with the way that, you know, the number of flights came back as we came down through the levels previously, and, you know, June was when we got down to level 1, and we saw really good demand through the school holidays, and we're really pleased with how we're going in August. Obviously, this is going to change things. The extent of that will depend, you know, on how long this goes on and how wide it is. And at this stage, we know what you know, which is, you know, we'll review the situation over the next few days and we'll see what eventuates next week. So it really just depends on the length of this and the depth of it.
I noticed that you had flights posted for Rarotonga, daily flights from the 24th of October. And obviously the Prime Minister has sort of raised some questions about the travel bubble now at all, given that it was based on the fact that we had no community transmission. How much of a blow will that be not to have it by the end of the year?
Look, we started posting those when we had a sense that maybe that would be a matter of weeks away. There are customers who have obviously booked for those flights. Obviously, there's a good chance that those will now get put back. We had planned for flights into the Cook Islands in our forecast, not actually to occur quite this early. So, you know, if it gets put back for a period of time, we're actually okay with that. But I do feel for the customers who were hoping to get away there for a winter break to some warmer temperatures.
Are all your staff and crews at the airport, are they all being tested?
In terms of testing for workers at the airport, my understanding is that we're in discussions with the Ministry of Health, and there is in Auckland a piece of work underway at the moment that will probably see workers at the airport, which would include our staff, tested.
As a result of this recent outbreak?
That's my understanding.
Okay. Look, last time we talked, we discussed the fact that Air New Zealand is looking for another $150 million in savings from the company. And I think it was about now you were looking to finalise details of that. So can we expect more job losses?
Too early to talk about what's occurred, obviously, in the last sort of 24 hours or so. So until we get more information as to how long this goes on, you know, way too early for us to comment. What I would say is that... you know, like any business, we don't plan for everything going right. So if this is a reasonably short-term event and we're back on our feet and operating, you know, within a matter of a few weeks, then I think we're in a good position. Should this extend into something that is quite lengthy and difficult and on a much larger scale, then clearly we need to go back and have a look at how we see cash flowing and all the other things.
Thanks for joining us this evening. That is Air New Zealand CEO Greg Foran. It is about 17 minutes to six. I'm Lisa Owen and you're with Checkpoint on RNZ National. Police are stopping every vehicle heading in and out of the Auckland region to try and stop the virus spreading any further. There are 9 checkpoints on the city's fringes and only people who usually live in Auckland or who are travelling to get home can come into the city. People who want to leave the city are only able to do so if they're headed home. Well, joining me now is the Police Commissioner, Andrew Costa. Good evening, Commissioner. How's it been going today? How compliant are people?
You look pretty good. You know, I think people know what we need to do to get back to where we were before, and what we're seeing is a commitment to do the right thing.
How many people did you stop sneaking off or trying to sneak off to their batches?
It was a very small proportion of the total who presented at checkpoints, so we let a lot of legitimate freight and so on through, so Auckland keeps getting what it needs. A small number in the vicinity of 30 to 40 were turned around for a variety of reasons. Some people trying to visit friends just on the other side of the border. A small number who thought they would go to the holiday home and they were turned around.
What was their excuse then when they were stopped and spoken to? Because it seems pretty clear, doesn't it?
Well, you'd think so. You know, we have to accept that some people may not understand the rules. That's why we're there. We educate them and we've seen good compliance once they appreciate that going out is not an option.
So did you issue any warnings today, you know, formal warnings?
I am awaiting, you know, data on the full detail of that. What I can tell you in terms of what we did was over 200 reassurance patrols around parts of Auckland, supermarkets and the like, and close to 200, you know, visits, or high visibility patrolling in key areas, be it places such as your testing stations and the like. So we've been very active. We've dealt with people. Most people have been very understanding once we've spoken to them. We haven't had to make any arrests, to my knowledge, so far.
So what resources is this taking up, the checkpoints in particular, and what would those officers normally be doing if they weren't standing there vetting every car that's coming in or out?
The checkpoints in total require about 40 officers at any one time. We're getting some support from NZDF to ease that burden. They'll just be working alongside police officers.
So how many staff from them, Commissioner, will you be using?
Probably we'd be looking to run a 50-50 mix. So at this stage, I understand we have about 50 defence staff available supporting us on those checkpoints. And those staff will be redeployed from other duties. And we know that our sort of volume decreases when we move into a lockdown situation. So we do have capacity to deal with it.
And are those members of the Defence Force, have they been at the checkpoints today?
Yes, I understand from this afternoon we started to have some defence staff come in and they're helping to bolster our numbers. And we want to make sure that we strike the right balance between filtering those who shouldn't be passing through but allowing legitimate freight and the like to keep moving.
Commissioner, is there really only 9 ways in and out of the super city?
At these particular lines, yes. So... for a very big area, Auckland is reasonably easy to contain. Obviously, though, the challenge is the volume of traffic, and we have seen some considerable delays, particularly at the northern end, and we'll keep fine-tuning that. But people have been very understanding.
What kind of delays?
So we've had on the northbound that peaked at about 1.5 hour delay for people travelling out of the city at that point. That came down as the day went on. But, you know, the message here is don't travel if you don't need to, essential travel only. We'll keep fine-tuning our part of it. But I think people realise that there's some inconvenience to achieve what we've achieved before and that it's worth the effort.
So are you doing anything on the water?
No, look, we don't have boats lined up on the water at that point. In the end, if someone decided to boat or swim around, well, they might get there, but there's also quite a good chance they get spotted, and we do have the capability to deploy a boat if we need to. The key thing here is everyone will need to do their part for us to get on top of this, whether it's stopping the spread inside of Auckland or stopping the spread outside of Auckland. We've demonstrated as a country that we can do it, and I think we will.
So you can, if you need to, charge people, and then it becomes a court process, right? And we've heard in the past few weeks that there's been a bit of a backlog at court in relation to COVID matters. So do you actually have the power to issue instant fines, or is that something you need?
There is provision in the COVID Act for us to do that, and that's a capability that we can turn on if we need to.
And how do you do that? Is it your right to do it right now? If you wanted to start issuing instant fines, could you, or is there some process you have to go through?
The law exists. There's some system things that wouldn't take us at all long in order to be able to issue fines. Our enforcement approach here, as before, has been to start with encouragement and education, and that's where we're focused. If we saw widespread non-compliance, we'd have options.
But you have had a relative chunk of people who don't want to play ball, hence the charges and people going through court, which is quite a process and quite a number of resources. Why not fire this up and start giving out instant fines? And how much could you fine someone?
Look, we would need to gauge what's best in the situation. Most people when spoken to do the right thing, and those who don't, at times can be a bigger problem than can be fixed by a fine. So it's there as an option. I believe the fine is $500, but I would need to check that for you. It's an option that's there, but if in the end, if we're having to enforce against a large proportion of the population, we're probably losing the battle. We win this battle by doing it collectively, and that's what we're seeing people do at this point.
Speaking of courts, Commissioner, the police would obviously have a number of matters in Auckland that they would be hoping to get through the courts in the next few days, and presumably they've all shut up shop as well at the moment. So what happens there?
Yeah, it'll be essential business being managed through the courts at this stage. We do know that normal demand tends to decrease when we're in lockdown.
So sentencing or trials? Sorry to interrupt, but sentencing or trials, there are sitting juries this week. Some are in deliberation. So are they all on hold for those matters?
Look, that will be likely the case if there was a trial mid-swing. I haven't had a direct update on that. It will cause disruption, and it's something that will need to be managed. But we've been working really closely with the Ministry of Justice and the Department of Corrections, and we were quite successful in working around some of these challenges in the previous lockdown, and we'll continue to work that way.
So no idea of the number of cases that might be on the back burner as a result of these 3 days?
No, not offhand. But at any point in time, you'd expect there to be, a number of trials underway. So obviously this kind of impact is not what you want, particularly not for the victims in a case. But this disruption is not what anyone wants, and it's not unexpected, and we just need to respond and manage it as quickly as we can.
Good to talk to you this evening. That is the Police Commissioner, Andrew Costa.